You're listening to the Lawrence Business Magazine. It now begins. Here's your host, Anne Frame Herzog.
Thank you. Each week we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today I'm pleased to have Mark Gonzalez, who is the Regional Senior Executive Vice President and Lawrence Market President at Capital City Bank. So good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Anne. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So we're going to talk a little bit about you and the bank and kind of how the things that you're doing in the community. But first, let's have a little bit of your personal history, kind of how you got, you know, I guess you were probably actually more how you got to the bank and then to Lawrence, instead of lots of times people say, how did you get to Lawrence and then get to your into your company? But you actually came with the bank to Lawrence. So let's talk a little bit about kind of your history and your Kansas history a little bit.
Sure. Born and raised in Wichita. Moved up to Lawrence in 1985, and I've been in Lawrence for 26 of the last 28 years. Spent a couple years in Chicago in the banking world up there. Okay. Decided that wasn't a place to raise a family and came back to Lawrence, Kansas to raise a family. But, you know, I've been in Lawrence, or a Kansas native, been here most of my life.
So when you were, so growing up in Wichita, so then when did you decide, you know, banking, how did, when did you decide that this was kind of your career? How it kind of did, did it just kind of sneak up on you?
No, it's a friend of mine hired me in high school. His dad hired me to work in a bank years ago. It's called Seneca State Bank, which is now part of the Bank of America system. Had a chance to, the same gentleman that hired me moved to another bank in Wichita, and he called me up one day and asked me if I wanted to come there right before I was going to college, and started working for him. And the president at that time was a gentleman named Terry Sutcliffe, who was also came up to Lawrence National Bank up here. So that's the tie to Lawrence National was. Or to my Lawrence, getting up in Lawrence, was Terry Sutcliffe was president of Wichita, the bank I was there.
Okay.
Moved up here and brought me up here about 3 or 4 years later to work for him up here.
So so when you were in college, did you work for the bank when you were in college?
I did. I was it was one of those good deals that I had. I got a chance to, in those days, consumer loans, we collect them from the bank, and that's why I was a loan collector for for all my college career. Got a chance to work from 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock every day, and basically almost had a full-time job during that time. And you know, had an opportunity to learn the investment side of the bank as well.
Yeah, my sister-in-law worked for a bank when she was in school in Emporia, and it was a great job for her as a college student to, and she went into banking too, but it was it was a great kind of a career starter to work for the bank during college and then just continue with it afterwards. It's kind of interesting.
It really was. You learn a lot, and you meet a lot of people. And that's the I like people, so it was a good opportunity to meet people, deal with people. It taught you how to deal with people that were kind of going through some adversarial times. You know, as a I guess a collector of loan, it was as a young kid, you're kind of wet behind the ears still. But you know, make a call and just say, hey, you know, you're late on a payment. When can that be made? You know, well, we just had a child, and you can empathize with their situations. And you know, I know most people that know me don't consider me a very hard person, so I'm more empathetic than that. But it was fun to get to know people.
Yeah, that's kind of, I would think, a lot of kind of pressure, though, as a college student, you know, you're kind of really going into these situations that could be kind of bad situations with people not, you know, owing money and stuff and trying to figure out how, you know, kind of negotiating that kind of tough bank standard and then also understanding other people's, you know.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's what we do as bankers. I mean, in what we do every day, it is a world of negotiations.
Yeah.
Granted, the regulatory environment has changed dramatically where we don't get an opportunity to negotiate as much because we have such limitations. But from a learning standpoint and a people standpoint, you learn a lot. Just, I mean, you're kind of thrown in the fire. But, you know, it's still a business. You can let your heart get into it a lot of times. But in those situations where the bank has to make a call, they have to make a call. But you meet a lot of great people. Again, people have even in those in the early, you know, the late 80s to mid 80s, people were still struggling in those times too at times. And you just have to know, have a gut feeling sometimes on when to say, here's what we can do, here's what we can't do.
Yeah. Well, now you're working in the banking, and so now you decide, so you worked then in banking for a while then in Wichita too before you moved up here. How long were you down there?
Before I came here, I had to look at it. It was 1977. Is when I first started in banking, and then I worked in banking there until 1985. Graduated in college in '83, had an opportunity to start becoming a lender at that point in time, and for a couple of years there, and I got up here in 1985.
So you moved up here with Lawrence National Bank.
With Lawrence National Bank.
So when did you? So let's talk then a little bit about your history, how you got to Capital City.
Okay. So I was at Lawrence National Bank. and the gentleman that owned those, owned Lawrence National Bank, owned 7 banks total.
Okay.
I worked at his bank in Wichita, and then I worked up here. Then I had the opportunity in Chicago that he owned a bank up there to go work up there for a couple of years. And when I came back here to Lawrence National, the gentleman that owned the bank passed away.
Oh. Okay.
So inherently, the bank was ended up being sold to First National Bank of Lawrence, which is now U.S. Bank today in this market. So with that tenure, I was with them for about 12 years. Then I had an opportunity to become a senior commercial lender for Commerce Bank and in the Lawrence market.
Okay.
And then through that, my 8 years tenure with Commerce Bank, I got an opportunity to become the market president for about 5 of those 8 years. And then I was on a board with Dan Sabatini. The Sabatini family owns Capital City Bank. They had a vision of what they wanted to do in Lawrence, Kansas. They had opened up a small grocery store bank for a couple years prior to that. And Dan just asked me one day if I was interested in starting a new bank, and I'll say new, but a new bank to the Lawrence area with Capital City Bank, and that's been about 10 years ago now.
Okay. Now, have you been, now you're at the downtown location. Has that bank always been there, or where?
No, and that was one of the discussions we had when Dan first approached me, was where they wanted to locate a bank, and being with Commerce, I mean, we were basically located west of Iowa, and that's where my life lived, was west of Iowa. It is what it is. You get
those habits.
Unless you
want to go downtown to dinner, otherwise.
To do something. If you had a reason to go downtown, I came downtown. But, you know, they asked me about downtown, and I kind of said, well, there's a lot of banks downtown already and all that. But Mr. Sabatini, Frank Sabatini, was involved, and his Dan Sabatini was involved in a group to develop the Hobbs Taylor Building at 7th New Hampshire. And, you know, once they said that, I was like, okay, let's give downtown a shot. And you know, it was the best move for the bank. It shows the... in my opinion, it shows the dedication and the commitment to the city of Lawrence, of Capital City Bank, to be involved downtown. As we do here often, the focus of Lawrence is their downtown area.
Right.
And it is a key, and it's, you know, it's great being down there again. I wouldn't do any different.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's kind of interesting talking about being downtown, because there's so, I mean, there's a lot of vital areas in Lawrence, and they're great, and it's great having, you know, your Dillon's and everything out on 6th Street and all those different pockets, but kind of the... image of Lawrence is downtown.
Yeah, very, very much so. And, you know, to the credit of the forefathers before I even came along, you know, downtown was such a big focus and continues to be a big focus. And as you can see, and even today, I mean, there's a lot of things happening downtown, which are, in my opinion, all positives. The more we can do in downtown, whether it's a, you know, I'll just take for instance a couple weeks, the Sandbar having their birthday party and getting people downtown has a whole effect on downtown. Even those that don't come downtown every week or every other week, it's important to have those kind of events. It's important to have, you know, more buildings that people live downtown.
Yeah.
It's just a good thing for downtown to have a vibrant downtown. I mean, you know, history shows that if your downtown's vibrant, you do have a very healthy community.
Yeah, and one of the things too, I like, you know, like the Sandbar having their events, which Sandbar just does anything. If they have an excuse, they have an event, right?
That's just good, yeah.
But those kind of events thing really make that area really a destination spot, because I think a lot of people's downtown areas have dwindled over the years because they aren't really a destination.
Right. Well, we have Busker Fest this weekend.
I love Busker
Fest. It's all in fun. Yeah. Again, the more people we can drive into downtown, even if it's the person that commutes every day to either Kansas City or Topeka, you know, give them a reason to come downtown, because it is a great place to be.
Right, and when people go downtown too, they need to check out not only, you know, the beautiful banks down there and your bank, but they also, it's neat to have so many merchants down there. Really go in. I always tell them, like, go in and shop. You know, go in. There's a lot of stores down there that I'm surprised at. On a regular basis, new shops that are wonderful down there, and it's really fun to go into them and see what they have. They really keep a vital, and people are really great down there about turning over their inventory, so there's always something new to look at. So
yeah, it's definitely.
Great.
It goes to the, I'm a believer, you support your local people. You know, if downtown's surviving and we can support the individuals that have invested to be downtown, anywhere in Lawrence, really, any mom and pop shop, in my opinion, in Lawrence, if we can support them with the, you know, whatever we need to buy without commuting that outward flow of dollars that are either going to Topeka or Kansas City, you know, it's better for Lawrence, Kansas. And, you know, we live here. We spend our tax dollars here. To me, that's a huge, when you live in a community like Lawrence, Kansas.
You know, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that you do at Capital City Bank and yourself personally working with Cottonwood and everything when we come back after a break here.
1320 KLWN, radio you can depend on.
I'm here with Mark Gonzalez from Capital City Bank, but he's the Lawrence Market President and like a lot of other titles.
That's right. Long title.
So now Capital City Bank, let's talk about them. And I know we were talking about the Sabatinis owning the bank, and kind of want to talk about kind of how Capital City, what you guys do, because I know off the air too, we've talked about how important it is to be part of the community. So let's talk a little bit about the Sabatini's focus of that, and then you and how your kind of vision for community works into that.
Sure. The bank's owned by, and as mentioned, the Sabatini family, which is Frank Sabatini. Mm-hmm. Frank, we're headquartered out of Topeka, Kansas. We're branched into Lawrence. I've been here about 12 years. And then Dan Sabatini is a local architect here.
Right.
Is also part of that family. It's a family-owned bank, and they treat it like a family. And you know, we've been in the corporate banking. There's pluses and minuses to corporate banking. There's pluses and minuses to community banking. Mm-hmm. But one of the big pluses on the community bank side is, you know, I can pick up the phone and call Frank Sabatini on his cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And those are important in today's world of the expectation of returning, getting an answer back to a customer. You know, can we do this? Would we be interested in doing this? If the answer is no, you want to get back to a potential customer quickly to say, you know, we don't have an interest. But if the answer is yes, they want to hear yes quickly as well.
So decisions are made locally.
Yes.
They're made with the Sabatinis and your management structure. You don't have to send paperwork off to some other place.
Right.
To get
answers. That's a positive. In my view, that's a positive.
Yeah.
A lot of people see it as positives. And mm-hmm. you know, there are, because of our bank size, we're about a $420 million bank. Mm-hmm. Size can be constrict you to what you can and can't do.
Sure.
Which is, there's a reason why the big banks are out there, which is awesome. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, they're good competitors. We compete with them, and you know, they know what we do well, and we know what they do well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a positive for Lawrence in general, the consumer and the commercial side of the banking business. But the Sabatinis mm-hmm. are big believers in, and which what I really liked about their when Dan and I started talking was, you know, I've always been a believer, you give back to a community that's given you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been important to me and my family, and it's very important to the Sabatinis. But with their involvement, and more, since Sabatini families are our main headquartered bank is Topeka, they're very active in the mm-hmm. in the Topeka market, as we are here. It's a sense of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when I grew up that way and was taught that way growing up,
right,
there was a huge connection from that standpoint.
You're part of a community as a child. Now you want to be part of a community as an adult in your business.
Correct, correct.
So what kind of things, so I know that you personally are involved very much with Cottonwood, correct?
And correct.
Which is fabulous. They're an amazing group.
It's an awesome organization.
How did you get involved with them?
Well, it goes back, I've been there, I think 16 years.
Wow.
On their board, just serving through their foundation board.
Okay.
It's more on the, not so much on the operating board of Cottonwood Inc., but it's more on the foundation board mm-hmm. side, which is the raising of funds mm-hmm. to support Cottonwood
right.
and the consumers of Cottonwood. It goes back years ago. I mean, as I was growing up, I had an uncle mm-hmm. that had disabilities.
Okay.
And when you grow up in that kind of environment, you see the struggles that my grandparents went through. I don't know what the word is. It's necessarily giving them the tools.
Right.
The tools to successfully raise a child with disabilities.
Yeah, they didn't have as much support.
No.
It's really hard.
When I got here, it was, you know, I was approached by, I think it was Carolyn Church at the time,
okay.
Was there as their development director, and she just approached me one day and said, would you be interested in it? Now, if you ever get an opportunity to go out and see their facilities,
yes.
It is a world changer to what people with developmental disabilities or mental disabilities can do. Mm-hmm. And if you give them the opportunity to succeed, they succeed just like we do in everyday life, and
mm-hmm.
that's the important thing that an organization like Cottonwood would does.
I think I've been out there, and I agree with you. It is an incredible facility, and they run it so well. And one of the things I was so impressed by is because we actually had Sharon and Peggy on the show as we're talking about. You know, they run a business out there with all the equipment, and we've hired them to do different things for Cottonwood to fulfill orders and things. But they have people that are challenged, you know, both mentally and physically, working out there and getting jobs, getting paychecks, and really gives them a sense of, you know, as we all, I like getting a paycheck, you know, and it's just
sure.
you that sense like you're really contributing and you're making your own way, as just everybody likes that, no matter what your physical or mental capabilities are, and just how much it helps people's sense of self and stuff. And when people have that great sense of self, then they become more part of the community. And then they have money to pay, spend in the community. It's pretty amazing.
Well, and the other part is just smiles.
Yeah.
I mean, the smiles you see on the consumers' faces out there is unbelievable. It's a world changer. Mm-hmm. It's a world changer. And even today's society, people are scared to approach sometimes with those that have these disabilities. And when you go out there, everybody is there smiling. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things. I mean, everyday world, we don't see that every day.
No, and also one of the things, too, I know that Nancy Longhurst up at the Oread and the Eldred, they have a lot of the people that have more capabilities are out in working at different places around the community. And the more people are in the community and get to know them and work with people that have built abilities, you have intelligence and stuff like that, and you start to learn. Yeah, you know, not to be that this is just another person.
Right. Yeah, that workforce enrichment program they have at Cottonwood's unbelievable. It integrates into the workforce individuals that are capable of helping and doing some jobs, again, earning that paycheck, which is important. And a shout out to a lot of different organizations in Douglas County that they give consumers opportunities to work within what I'm going to call the normal workforce.
Right. It's great. It's great. Well, that's so wonderful that you guys do that. Now, Capital City, does it have any sort of goals or plans when you have employees, like with regards to having employees having them make a commitment to volunteer time, or is that just something that's encouraged? Or
we do. We encourage it. It's kind of like the United Ways of the world. Those type of things we encourage, don't require, but encourage our employees to donate and to give funds if they're available, if they can do that. A dollar a paycheck, a dollar a month goes somewhere. And it doesn't matter the size of it. Mm-hmm. It's the thought that counts for me.
Right.
And those that can give more have given more. We ask them to volunteer. I mean, we cover Van Gogh, Cordley School as a school partner. I mean, I have a good list of other involvement that I have involved with. Who's the other? Brook Creek Habitat for Humanity, the Hospital Endowment Association. I've been involved in Lawrence Douglas County Housing Authority, Lawrence Home Builders Board. The list goes on, and it's what you find out with people that volunteer, if you like building homes, Habitat makes sense for you,
right?
Because you're doing it for a great cause. If you like to support those with disabilities, Cotton was a great opportunity for you. What I have found out is if I've joined a board and it's not something my heart's into, you don't give 100%.
Right.
Sad to admit, but those are the facts. But the boards that you are and the volunteers, things that you do, if you do have an interest, you tend to give 100 to 110, 120%.
Right.
It's a feel-good thing, I think, is important. And, the problem that any organization, any community has, it's an 80-20 rule. 20% of our population is involved in the volunteer, where 80% is not. And just think, what if you move that up to 50-50 or 60-40 the other way, what we could do in a great community like Lawrence, Kansas.
Yeah. And I think, and as we know, Tuesday, people, when you have those 20% should actually, they're doing 100% of the work, but they're not necessarily, people get stretched a little thin too. That's one of the things of learning. I've learned to, there's certain things you have to realize, you have to say, I can't do that because my heart's, I need to focus on these things because I can do these really well and help. Mm-hmm. If I do this, then I'm not going to be able to do it, and that balancing act.
I mean, it's very, very important. And there are people, don't get me wrong, I didn't mean the 80-20 is a negative.
No.
I meant it that
those
20% do get stretched, and the more people that could give time, I think they call it time, talent, or treasure, however that is important. Even if you say, I can only give an hour a month, it's an hour that wasn't being given before.
Right.
And that's why I just think it's important if someone is ever out there thinking that, I want to get involved somehow, there's some great places to go to just ask, what can I do?
Definitely.
Here's my interest. Is there some place you can fit me within this community? And there are. There's a lot of opportunities out there.
And one of the things, too, when you're talking about that is having businesses and companies feel like, that having that as a focus, because it does start, in my opinion, from the top, if the top is focused on being part of the community and focused on the community and making sure that their employees feel that, then it happens. If somebody, you know, if it's not a priority, then, and it becomes difficult for people that are working to do that, because every once in a while, you know, if you need to go to a board meeting or something, if your job, they understand that, as long as you don't, you know, there's a balance there, obviously,
right?
Because you got to get the work done. But it's nice to have a company that thinks that way.
Yeah, we very much think that way. Like I mentioned before, one of our administrative assistants, Tyler Lindquist, is a one of the co-chairs of the Van Gogh Float Your Boat, and that takes some time.
Oh yeah, that's a big,
you know, anytime you're chairing something, it takes time. And we've had all kinds of individuals involved in the St. Patrick's Day Committee, you know. So that's all time that I think as an organization you have to be willing to give your employees that opportunity to spend that time, because it still goes down to enjoying your job. Mm-hmm. If that's part of your job and that's what you enjoy doing, that makes your job that much better.
It makes you do your job better too.
Exactly.
It?
It makes you appreciate that someone, your employer, is willing to give you the time to volunteer to do something that you really like to do and want to do.
Right. Well, I want to talk more about a little bit more about the business of Capital City when we come back, because we haven't really talked about, you know, because when we talk about like how, you know, the clients and different things that you guys actually, what you really do at Capital City when we come back.
Perfect.
1320 KLWN, radio you can depend on.
I'm here with Mark Gonzalez from Capital City Bank, the Lawrence Market President, and we're talking about a lot of things are happening at Capital City, but before we get back with Mark, I just want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at our local Hy-Vees, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town. It's also available online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com, and you can also like us on Facebook, where you can find comments and questions for our guests and updates and information on the radio show and magazine. We'd love to get your comments and questions, but in our effort to encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. So speaking of that, with Mark here, we want to talk a little bit about the business of Capital City here, because usually we talk about that first, and then we get into the social stuff, but we've been doing, kind of reversed it a little bit, because I think it's fascinating. But before we get into that a little bit, let's talk a little bit about more. You were at Cottonwood, and then there's a few other things you were talking about. You said you were involved with the hospital endowment. Are you still involved with them?
Still very involved with the hospital, Lawrence Small Hospital Endowment Association. It's another one of those things that's close to you. We have an unbelievably awesome community hospital in Lawrence, Kansas. They are accolades winners of how good they are in comparison to their peer. The other thing that I'm a big believer in, you know, everyone within our community somehow, some way, somewhere will be touched by our community hospital. Mm-hmm. So the health of our community hospital is very, very important to a community like Lawrence, Kansas. It's under great management, great leadership with Gene.
Yeah, we're big fans of the Gene Meyer fan club over here.
Oh, definitely, definitely. No doubt about it. Kathy Clausen heads up the endowment.
Awesome.
She's awesome. She's been there for a number of years as well. And that's one of my things I look at now for boards, because I'm so busy, is the tenure of leadership. That is important. And we have great tenure of leadership at the hospital. I've been on the endowment board for about 15 years as well, in a chair and a co-chair this year of the Penny Jones Golf Tournament.
All right.
Which we raise over $100,000 a year in that golf tournament. And it's coming up here again on September 6th.
September 6th. Okay. So are you guys full up on that?
We can always use more individual golfers.
Okay.
Our goal is always 350 plus golfers. We use both sides at Alphamar Country Club and golf course. You get the opportunity to play 9 holes on the public side, 9 holes on the private side, which is always a great thing. It's a good time. It's a lot of fun. And we end up around 350. Mm-hmm. Our goal is always to grow it. We'd love to get 375 golfers this year.
That'd be great.
Morning tee times, afternoon tee times are both available. And it's, again, like I mentioned before, it's one of those things that if you feel good about it, you give 100% effort for it. And that's one of my other main volunteer things.
Okay, so if somebody says, oh, you know what, I forgot about this year, I want to do that, I hear it's a great thing, because I also hear it's not just a great golfing, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's a great time.
my partner Mark goes out to that sometime, and he comes, but he has such a fun time out there. What do you guys, how did they get involved? Where do they go to sign up?
The Lawrence Memorial, it's called the L-E-M-E, Lawrence Memorial Hospital Endowment, L-M-H-E-A.
L-M-H-E-A.
.org is their website. There's brochures about the golf tournament on there. There's also an ability to sign up for the golf tournament there, or just call the endowment office. Okay. They have a great staff over there, and we'll get you ready to go.
I'm sure you could Google Penny Jones Golf Tournament.
Penny Jones Golf Tournament would come up. Lawrence, Kansas,
that's
yes.
That's great. Okay, so that's something too, to get involved with, because that is you're having a great day out there with everybody and helping a great cause.
Yeah. And it's on a Friday, too, which is even better.
Yeah, that is.
Longer weekend.
Yeah. Well, isn't that, you know, that's like, aren't you, we're already off on that Monday for Labor Day. So then you have that. I mean, you're not getting much done that week anyway. It's a four-day week. You might
correct.
As well take off that Friday and go out and spend a little money. And,
have a little fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. Always fun.
Now, Penny Jones with the we'll also put that link on our website, too, in case people can't Google Penny Jones. But let's talk a little bit about, so that's giving back to the community. Now, as a company, you guys already talked about kind of your assets, and it's a family-owned business with the Sabatinis, which I think it's pretty incredible. How old is Capital City Bank?
Oh, it goes back to the late 1800s as far as the age of the bank.
Wow.
Started in Richmond, Kansas, as a little grocery store bank.
Okay.
The Sabatini families bought it in 1979.
Okay.
And have owned it since then.
Okay.
I believe the family has some interest. Mr. Sabatini's wife was a Chandler, which is the old First National Bank of Wichita.
Okay.
Now, that's where that tie goes into. And you know, he was come up through the as an attorney and then the Pizza Hut business and stuff like that. And
okay.
Owning the bank,
that's where he kind of got his
I guess that urge to own a bank.
he wanted to control the money now.
Exactly. There you go. Perfect way to say it. But so he's owned it since 1979,
okay.
And we've grown. He bought it, was about a $50 million bank, and like I mentioned earlier, we're about a $420 million bank now.
Okay.
Dealing, as a community bank, you deal across all aspects of banking, retail / consumer banking, the commercial banking, dealing with anything from owner-occupied properties to investment properties to commercial industrial lines of credit for retail and wholesale-type businesses. And then we have trust department.
Okay.
Mortgage department. I mean, we kind of do it all. Mm-hmm. The community banks anymore, and they've always been kind of a jack of all trades. That there are size limitations to the banks on what we can and can't do. Just regulatorily, they give us the right to do.
Is that actually regulatory, or is that because of how that your assets, does that affect your regulatory?
It's really based on the capital that the investors have in the bank, and it's a regulatory equations that are utilized, even more scrutiny in today's world because of what we've gone through the last 4 or 5 years as well. So it's a good thing that they're monitored on that way. And you work within those parameters and you make, well, I'm going to say, good decisions. We're in the risk business.
Right.
Banking is a risk business. One of the things I've always said, you play close enough to the fire, you're going to get burnt once in a while. And it happens in our industry. And as long as you're prudent and careful with the way you're doing it, you should be okay.
Well, there's, you're hopefully not dealing with Vegas odds here, right? You're dealing with a little more.
Exactly. I like Kansas odds better. Yeah, and you're definitely not. Yeah, again, it's not a gambling business; it's more of a risk business. And there's a mitigation to that risk that every loan situation is looked at, and you have to look at it that way.
Yeah, and when that was kind of the with the banking, it got into a gambling business. Now it's supposed to be an investment business, right? You're investing in people and properties, not gambling on something that's kind of magical numbers out there and trying to make pretend money.
You can't make up pretend money. And that's what really got us into this this situation that we went through the last 4 or 5 years. And I would say, just from me, we've seen it. I think the bigger markets got hit a lot harder.
Yeah.
The Kansas City market, I think, got hit a lot harder than what Lawrence did, even though we didn't see, I think our damage in Lawrence has been, we just haven't grown. Job growth, we kind of just stopped.
Breaks, right?
And that has hurt Lawrence. I mean, we could use more growth in Lawrence, and I'm all about stable growth, control. I don't know if control is the right word. Stable growth, smart growth. Sometimes we try to control our own destiny to a fault. Mm-hmm. In my personal opinion, and I'm a business person, so that's coming more shaded from the business standpoint.
Sure.
And I throw this out too. I was involved with Eco Squared for 7 years, and learning. We're not tainted. We're, as a pro business individual, we're all about, let's go push it forward ahead. Go go go. At Eco Squared, I met a lot of people that were exact opposite of my view, which is good. It gives you a view from everybody's perspective on we all want what's best for Lawrence, Kansas.
Right.
That's, I'd put that on the floor any day. Pro growth, no growth, whatever you want to call it. And as long as we can meet in the middle, mm-hmm. Lawrence will continue to be a great community. And we will grow at a pace that everybody, I think, will be okay with.
Right.
We're not ever, as you know, I say it's always, you always manage to the middle 80%, mm-hmm. not the outer 10 and the outer 10 on both sides.
Right.
And the, usually that middle 80% are pretty, they can meet somewhere.
They're more reasonable.
Right. Yeah. So that's, and that's a good thing. As long as we're, mm-hmm. we're managing to the more reasonable.
Right.
I think Lawrence, Kansas has a great future.
I agree. And I mean, I think that what's been, as they're growing downtown, kind of how things have grown, you know, with the new buildings that are going up down there. I know that there's been a lot of, you know, debate about those, but I agree with you that having people come downtown and residents downtown and keeping that community vital without, but making, again, smart, you know, making sure we're not, I think not having a 20-story building is a really good idea, you know, keeping everything at a manageable height, but we're also allowing people to grow and their businesses to grow. So.
Yeah, and I think we're allowing the investor to make a reasonable return.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, whether it's building downtown, building out in West Lawrence,
right.
building in East Lawrence, building south or north, it's all about the individuals that are willing to risk their capital mm-hmm. to better Lawrence, Kansas, and we can give them a decent rate of return. How do we do it? Again, it can't be all taxpayers' money,
mm-hmm.
but it has to be a risk. They're risking a lot of capital as well.
Right.
So I think there, again, in my world of negotiations, it has to be good for both sides to some extent. And in the big picture, what's best for Lawrence, Kansas?
Right. Well, I always find it remarkable. I've been some people at Fringe, you know, it's like you know, making money is not a bad thing. You know,
true.
Having a company, having a businesses here make money, I think that's healthy for Lawrence. If you're making money by taking advantage of other people, that's not good. If you're making money because you're running a smart business, that's different.
Sure. And I would agree. I'd agree 100% with that.
So.
It's not good to not make money.
Yeah.
That's not a very good thing either.
That's not a good business plan.
Exactly.
So now, speaking of business plans, when you're talking about investing, so do you guys, as Capital City Bank, do you guys primarily then you really are investing in like Douglas and Shawnee County, or do you invest mm-hmm. all in Kansas, or is it really focused up in this northeastern area?
Being a regional, and that's where my big title comes from, the regional senior EVP, we also have an operation in Kansas City.
Okay.
So it's really, our sweet spot is probably a 50-mile radius around northeast Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Do we go outside that? Yes, we've been outside that. But it's with borrowers that we know very well.
Okay.
So it's
borrowers that are they're trying to invest in something outside of that area, kind of.
Correct. And we... You know, if someone says, have you invested in Wichita? Yes, we've invested in Wichita, but we don't go there every day to look for new business mm-hmm. or anything like that. It's someone that we've had ties to through the bank at some point in time
mm-hmm.
that's doing business down there as well. You know, but I would take a 50-mile radius around whole northeast Kansas is probably a good mm-hmm. good radius of where we do business or where we will do business.
Now, does the company have plans to grow and add stuff, or you guys feel like you just want to grow areas you have?
No, we're probably safe in northeast Kansas mm-hmm. right now. The bulk of our size of our bank is in Topeka right now,
right?
And Lawrence is a little bigger than our Kansas City operation. But of the $420 million, we probably have $300 million in assets in Topeka.
Mm-hmm.
The 120 split between us and our Overland Park operation mm-hmm. there. So it's our growth is more internal
mm-hmm.
building locations. We're a commercial bank in Kansas City area.
Okay.
That's a large ocean, and we're really a little goldfish in a market that's
a big
over there,
market.
And that's a huge market. So we don't look at, you can't compete, in my opinion, from a retail standpoint with branches and locations and everything like that, and that kind of capital investment with the very large Kansas City banks. So we're a commercial
mm-hmm.
bank doing commercial business, mainly focused on commercial business over there.
Okay.
Lawrence, Kansas, we currently have two facilities, looking at a third one right now to expand in Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
In Topeka, we have seven locations over there. So
okay.
I would say our Lawrence operation and our Topeka operation are mirror images of each other from our standpoint. Is we do all the retail business, and mm-hmm. we do, meaning dealing with consumers and
right.
the commercial business. And
so it's
and we want to do business
there,
but right, more of a balance in these two markets than our Kansas City.
There too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, in Kansas City, you who have commercial lenders over there, that all they're looking for is commercial business. They're not mm-hmm. really out saying, you know, here's our car loans, here's our home equity loans, those type of things. They're strictly focused on commercial.
That makes sense. Now, when you're now, how many people do you guys employ? How many people work at the bank?
Locally, there's about 13, depending on 14, it varies between 13 and 15, really. Right. As a bank, we're about 100 people.
Okay. So that's pretty good.
That's a good size employer.
Yeah. Very good. So as you see the company and stuff, do you see it, like we talked about it growing, do you think has the way you're changing business, we kind of talk a little bit about regulations and stuff, how that's kind of changing, just kind of, it doesn't really, has it really changed how you do business, or is it just changing the paperwork?
Well, it hasn't really changed the way Capital City Bank has done business. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were lucky. I don't know if lucky is the word. We were managed to the point where we didn't really come under the scrutiny of the regulators.
So you were doing smart banking before?
Well, we were doing smart. I said earlier, you play close to the fire, you get burnt once in a while. And I can't say we came unscathed through this whole economic downturn. But it's a... the regulations are there to help, you know, in my opinion only, the pendulum went one way. And once the economic downturn came, the pendulum went all the way back the other. There's a happy medium, I believe, between how you lend money, how you invest money, what kind of interest rate you pay to a depositor, and what kind of interest rate you charge to a borrower. The banking business is all about it's the spread, what we pay someone versus what we can lend it at. It's all about the spread, and you take your expenses out of there. Mm-hmm. So it's the environment we're still working under, it's more paperwork. Yeah. It's the additional paperwork that we see, which, in my opinion, follows to the brunt onto the consumer. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a double-edged sword.
Right.
And I'll give you an example of appraisals. You know, if we don't have an appraisal within a certain period of time, we're always required to update that, and the bank's not going to really pick up that cost. It's typically going back to the borrower or to the consumer, which, again, it adds more cost to the to the deal. And in a community like Lawrence, Kansas, that didn't see huge fluctuations in value, it's costly.
Yeah, because you're just a few $100 more, it keeps going out. And
Exactly.
Now, when you're talking about one of the things, too, I like to do, especially with banking and stuff, the internet. Has that changed a lot how you guys do business?
It'll continue to change.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that earlier, kind of like our Overland Park operation, that we have one facility over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do we have an ATM there? Yes. Does it get a whole lot of usage? No, because that's a consumer product.
Right.
What we're also seeing, too, is that the trends are ATM usage is going down because the consumer has gotten smarter. Technology has made the consumer much smarter. It used to be that our consumer would come to an ATM and grab a $20 bill. Mm-hmm. Well, now they grab $100.
Right.
Less transactions. So it's really just the consumer has gotten smarter. You know, now you have mobile banking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you used to be able to transfer funds on an ATM. You had to make that physically be there. Now mobile banking is huge, and it's growing at a light speed.
Yeah.
And it's something that I believe as the younger generation gets older and us baby boomers get older, that mobile usage, that internet usage will continue to go up because that's all they've grown up with is the internet.
Right.
I mean, the retail branch, I believe, will always be there because people like to do business with people still. But I think you'll see less and less of it just because that the mobile usage and the internet is such an important piece. And from a cost standpoint, for us to have a web page versus and mobile banking is a whole lot cheaper than building a $2 million branch.
Right.
And because the rate of return that you see on that, again, from an investment standpoint, is just that much more important. And I think you'll get to the point where, and you're starting to see it in some of the stuff we read, that there are some people, and I'm talking about mostly younger generation, they'll sign up for a bank account and have never walked into your branch.
I know.
So that's just the way of technology and the way it's moving to, which in the big picture is a good thing. I like seeing people, so I hope it doesn't all go to that before I'm gone. So.
But also now, do you deal with, then I would say then with the internet stuff, then a big challenge is security on stuff and keeping, making sure when you're dealing with technology that you're staying, you're probably a big cost there is just making sure you're staying ahead of that technology curve with regards to security and making sure all those things.
Yeah,
because that's huge.
The budget on internet security that we've experienced over the last 6-7 years, you would be astonished how it has increased. We're protecting. Our job is to protect our customers' money. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you lose that, trust, that goes away. That's why it's such an important piece. But what we have found out, and I went to an internet security seminar here a couple of weeks ago, the what happens to us and all this, it's password. Most hackers that these individuals were talking about, it was not because they got through a bank's firewalls and all the protection that we have in place. It was you have a package delivered to press on this website and you can see where it's going to be delivered mm-hmm. to. Well, it loads a virus or a Trojan or whatever you want to call it mm-hmm. to the back end of your computer, and it starts keeping track of keystrokes.
I know, it's scary.
It's scary. So, and what happens is people inadvertently load this stuff to their system that don't have the internet security mm-hmm. and all that on their system themselves. And these hackers just sit out there until they have a full password, and then they start operating themselves mm-hmm. as if nothing's happened. And it's scary. It's one of the largest. One of the largest concerns any financial institution has yeah. in today's world.
Well, I'm amazed too, and this is just, I get emails on a constant basis that are sent to my home and my work address that are from some sort of kind of a semi-official thing. They even say even like FedEx or something, but then mm-hmm. you look into the actual web address and it's not from them. You know, it's some with a zip file.
Yep.
All the time, and I'm just like, wow, you know, and I've got a degree in computer science, so I've been, you know, so I mean, I'm real aware of this, and I've get tempted sometimes, well, what is this? And I'm like, no, you know, so it's yep. like, I've never started this, but those are really scary. Yeah, do not open files.
Is that what we say? If you have a question about a file that's been sent to you, delete it. Just delete it. I mean, if the worst case is someone's because, hey, calls you and said, yeah. did you get my email? And you go, oh, sorry, I deleted that.
Yeah.
But it's.
Yeah, I had somebody from the U.S. government claiming this morning that they had something for me. I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. And one of these presenters.
They don't email you, the government.
Yeah, really. One of these presenters was an FBI agent, and his sole job in the FBI is internet hacking.
Wow.
I mean, some of the stuff he sold us was scary.
That is awesome. Well, we have to wrap up because we have just got a couple minutes left. I just want to thank you so much for being here. Thank Capital Cities for being here and contributing to our community here. It's been great. Thank you. And everybody needs to get out to the Penny Jones Golf Tournament on September 6th. Go online to lmhe.org and sign up. Get out there, play, raise money for the hospital. We are here every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. on KLWN, redefining the concept of business.